First that I want to bring to your attention this morning with the Lord's help is Joshua chapter 1, verse 1. At that verse it says, "Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying," and then we read of what the Lord had spoke to Joshua. Joshua's leadership commences after the death of Moses. Moses was that great spiritual leader, that man who stood out among many. We read there in Deuteronomy chapter 34 that there arose not a prophet in Israel like unto Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. He was that great man that God used to deliver Israel out of Egypt. He was that man that the Lord spoke of in the Gospels, saying, "Moses, he wrote of me." Moses knew the gospel. Moses knew the message of the Lord Jesus Christ. Moses had his eye fixed on Christ. He esteemed Christ greater than all the riches of Egypt. And if out of everything that was said about Moses, out of everything that Moses did, of how the Lord worked through his life, there is none greater than what we read here of what the Lord said, "Moses, my servant, is dead." He was described as a servant of the Lord, one who gave his life for the Lord, one who surrendered everything he had to the Lord's glory, to serve the Lord. And today, no doubt, many will chase after titles, many will chase after things after their name. But if all was said about us, as was said about Moses, a servant of the Lord, oh, that would be a great blessing. Oh, what people would say about my life, that people would say about your life, "There goes one who is a servant of the Lord. There is one who is identified with Christ. There is one that has that personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. There is one who honored the Lord. For the Lord said, them that honor me, I will honor." And we learn much from Moses' life, even coming right up to the end of his death. He died at 120 years old. We read there that his natural frame had not abated. We learn his eyes were not dim. He still had all the strength. He could still see right. He could still talk right. And I'm sure maybe, I don't know anybody here, you would love to live to 120 years or not, but I'm sure we all have the same desire that in our old age, that we all get older, we would still like to have our eyesight, still like to have our hearing, still like to have those great faculties in our life that Moses had. And Moses' death teaches many, many lessons. We learn that no man can escape death. Death is not a respecter of persons. We all will die. Our life is like a vapor that passes away. It's like the steam of a kettle. You'll see it 1 minute and then it will go away. That's how quickly our life is. We will all die some point in our life. But the question is, are we prepared to meet God? Are we prepared to meet our Creator? Oh, did we not see already this past week of how people were rushed into God's eternity? Watching the news the other night when it was speaking about those shootings in Tunisia. One man spoke about people lying on the ground. And he said he passed into a room. And maybe you saw this on the news yourself. He passed into the room and he saw a man sitting there with a girl beside him. And he cried out to this other man, "What do I do? What do I do?" The man came and checked for a pulse, and that girl couldn't find one. Said, "I'm sorry, she's dead." And the young boy responded, "She was my fiancée. We were to get married in 2 weeks." Oh, they had everything already planned out. And then she was ushered out into eternity. No man is promised tomorrow. It says in God's word here in Deuteronomy 34 that Moses died according to the word of the Lord. And it's appointed unto man once to die. We will die. But are we prepared to meet the Lord? Can I ask you, is it well with your soul? Could you say, "Preacher, I am a Christian. I know if I die today, I would go to be with the Lord." You know, this past weekend, I know many today have been praying for others in our congregations who have lost a loved one. This past week, my granny, who wasn't well, and I've been speaking to her about the gospel. And again, to the end of her life, the last number of weeks, been speaking to her, "Granny, you need to be saved. Granny, you need to ask the Lord Jesus Christ into your heart. Granny, will you do that?" She said, "No, no." Got a phone call the other night. "Your granny's taken worse. Maybe just in the last number of hours." Got to that stage, she was unresponsive. But I was able to whisper in her ear, "Granny, Granny, we spoke about getting saved. We spoke about having the Lord Jesus Christ in your life. Did you do that?" She shook her head and said, "No." The next day, she had passed away, this there on Friday. What about you? Are you prepared to meet the Lord? Moses was ready to meet the Lord. And his death, like I said, teaches so many things about how we ought to serve the Lord right up to the end of our life, of how we ought to be prepared for that day. But as Moses was dying, the Lord had spoken to him about preparing his successor, that he was to lay his hand upon Joshua, a man who would take on the work, a man who would lead Israel over, a man who would continue after Moses, a man who was filled with the Spirit of God, that whenever Moses left this scene of time, Joshua was there. And isn't that great to know that it's the Lord's work? Many times when a man dies, we think it's all going to fall apart. I know the phrase has been said many, many times, though God's workmen die, the work still goes on, because it is the Lord's work. Now, just for a few minutes, I want to speak today about Joshua, that man who Moses anointed to lead Israel into the land. So the person of Joshua I want to talk about today. Notice, first of all, there is the significance of his name. It says there in verse 1, "Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake on to Joshua." The Lord spake on to Joshua. And we learn in the Bible that Bible character names are very, very important. Whether you read a book of the Bible, whether it's a name of the Bible, those names have a particular meaning, for they lead us into the character's life, what the character is about to do, or else the book itself. We think of the book of Genesis. It's the book of beginnings. We learn about the beginnings of creation. Well, Joshua's name has a great meaning. We learn there in Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 44, says, "Moses came and spake unto the words of this song in the ears of the people and said, Hosea, the son of Nun." His name was Hosea. That's when he was born. And that name simply means salvation or Savior. We learn after the Numbers chapter 13, verse 16, that Moses then changed that name to Jehoshua, simply adding the words J-E-H to the name. And that's very, very important, because the words J-E-H in Numbers 13, verse 16, simply give us the name for Jehovah. So if we put those two words together, salvation and Jehovah, we get the simple meaning that Jehovah is salvation. And that's what Joshua's name was to mean. Jehovah is salvation. When we read in the New Testament the name Jesus, we learn that that's the same name meaning as Joshua's name in the Hebrew. So we could say Joshua in the Hebrew is the same meaning of Jesus in the New Testament, meaning salvation. So you could say Joshua means either Jehovah, salvation, or Jesus is salvation, or Jesus is Savior. That's the meaning of the name, to show the worthy name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because Joshua in his life pointed to the Lord Jesus Christ. And what a wonderful name, Jehovah, or Jesus is salvation. It brings us to the Savior of his people. "For thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin." Oh, how sweet the name of Jesus is. It's a thrill to your hearts. It's a thrill to your soul to have the name of Jesus. That name that is above every other name. That name that that people will bow down one day and confess that Jesus is Lord. So both names speak of the same meaning. Joshua or Jesus. They speak of salvation. They speak of one who came to deliver the people. We learn that Joshua would deliver the people into the land. just as the Lord Jesus Christ came to deliver his people out of bondage, out of darkness, into his marvelous light. And there's a great gospel parallel here, because Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, Joshua, you are to lead the people into the land. Moses in the Bible is known as a type of the law. We learn our scripture says that the law was given by Moses, but truth and grace came by Jesus Christ. Moses was the law giver. Moses represented the law, and he could only bring the people up to the land, but he could not take the people into the land. Only Joshua could do that. And it was to show a simple gospel message that the law cannot save. The law cannot change your life. But the law was simply the standard of God's holiness to show man that he is condemned, that man is guilty. The law could only lead us to Christ. Galatians says the law is our schoolmaster. It's to lead us to Christ. But the law cannot save. And maybe you're here today trying to obey God's Ten Commandments, trying to do everything each day, saying, preacher, I'm trying to do my best. Now I say to you that you can never keep God's law. We are lawbreakers. We learn in Romans chapter 3, verse 20, by the law came the knowledge of sin. The great gospel parallel. Moses, the law, is dead. Now Joshua, take the people over. Only Joshua could lead the people into blessing. Only Joshua could lead the people to experience the blessings of God. And this is what it is. Our union needs to be broken with the law, with our sin, to experience that union in the Lord Jesus Christ. Joshua is the Savior of his people. Moses cannot save him. The law cannot save him. But Joshua is the Savior. He is the one that will lead his people into victory to enjoy the blessings of God. And dear child of God, what a great joy to know that if you're in the Lord Jesus Christ, oh, you have all the blessings of God in Christ, that you're redeemed, that your sins have been forgiven. Are you enjoying the blessings of God in your life? Are you enjoying all the favor of God in your life? Oh, to know each day that we have not chosen him, but he has chosen us, that we were in our sin, that we were lost. Oh, but Jesus Christ came and saved his people from their sin. That's the significance of the name of Joshua. The name means Jesus is Savior. Notice secondly, Joshua, the son of Nun. And this takes us straight away to the book of Exodus chapter 12. And you may know that story well about the time of the Passover. The children of Israel, they were in bondage. They were held captive by Pharaoh. And Pharaoh came as a taskmaster. He whipped them. He put the burdens heavier upon them. And the people cried on to God. And God heard their cry. And God would bring his people out of bondage to deliver them. And in Exodus chapter 12, verses 4 and 5, we learn these words that the Lord spoke to Moses. And he gave the instructions that at midnight he would go into the midst of Egypt. And the firstborn, man or beast, they would die. Didn't matter how old they were, but the firstborn would die. And he gave the instructions. The only way to be protected, the only way to be covered, was by taking the blood of the lamb and to put it upon the doorpost, that whenever the Lord would pass by, that great statement of Scripture says, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. They would be secure. They would be protected because they were under the blood. They would be secure. And the Lord did this to show the difference between Israel and the Egyptians. Now you may say, well, what's this got to do with Joshua? Well, Joshua was born in Egypt. He was a bondman. He was born in slavery. And we learn in 1 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 27, that Joshua was the firstborn of Nun. He was the son of Nun. He was the firstborn. And that meant as the angel came by that night, if Joshua was not under the blood, he would have died. But because he was under the blood, because he was covered in the blood, because he was saved by the blood. When the angel passed over, he did not die, but he was protected by the shedding of the blood. And isn't that great to know, child of God, in your life, that you are saved by the precious blood? What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Redeemed, redeemed. Oh, praise the Lord. Redeemed forevermore. And I'm glad today that there's still power in the blood of the Lamb, even to save the vilest of sinner. And dear child of God, that blood continually today is effective for you, that when you let the Lord down, when you sin each day, you can come and confess your sin, because he is faithful and just to forgive you your sin and to cleanse you. This is why you cannot come on God's on good works. Don't we learn in Genesis chapter 4, whenever there was the offering of Cain and Abel, and Cain came with the works of his hands, with the fruit of the ground, and he offered it for an offering. And God rejected that offering. Why? Because it was based on good works. The only offering that God accepted was the offering of his son. It was the blood sacrifice. And that's still the same way today. It's through the precious blood. Good works cannot save. A preacher cannot save. Doing what you try to do cannot save your soul. You must come the blood sprinkled way. And I'm glad today that there's still power in the blood of the Lamb, even to save the vilest of sinners here today. Friend, are you under the blood? Are you saved today? And if you are saved, will you can leave today saying, hallelujah, I'm under the blood. When I die, I know that I am secure. I have a home in heaven because of the Lord Jesus Christ and all he has done for me at Calvary. Oh, he has purchased so much for me. Joshua was saved by the blood. So we learn about his life. It presents all about the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice as well, thirdly, Joshua is described here as the servant of Moses. It says here, as Moses' minister, it says, now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister. Now, the word minister has many, many different meanings. It can mean responsibilities. The word simply minister can simply mean a servant. We read there at Exodus 33, verse 11, it says to Moses, Joshua, his servant. So he was Moses' minister, or he was Moses' servant. And the idea is of responsibility. Moses gave Joshua responsibilities. Now this word indicates that these were not big tasks. They were simply tasks that were given to him that he could perform. Whether it was choosing out men to fight in the battle, whether it was waiting at the mountaintop, whatever it may be, they were just simple tasks given to Joshua that he could do. And we learn through Scripture that there were tasks that the Lord gave to Moses that the Lord didn't give to Joshua. And there were things that was given to Joshua that was not given to Moses. And I'm sure as Joshua, as he served Moses, I'm sure as Joshua, as he listened to all that Moses had to say, he could have looked at Moses' life and thought, there's a great man of God. How can I ever live up to that man? Look at everything he's done. Look at all that God's done through him. I could not do all the things that he's done. I couldn't do any of that there. And I say, maybe that's like you today as well, in serving the Lord. There's people you'll see, maybe the children's work. Maybe you want to get involved in the outreach. And you say, well, I could never talk to people the way they do. Oh, they have a great way of saying things. I couldn't do that. Maybe it's the children's work. It could be the prayer meeting. Maybe the prayer warriors have passed on, that they've gone home to glory. And you're there and you remember how they prayed. You remember the words that they said, how they expressed their love for the Lord. You say, I couldn't pray like them. I couldn't say the words that they said. And yet, we must remember that Joshua was not to replace Moses. Joshua was to stand in Moses' place. And that's a big difference. You're not to replace anybody, but you're to stand in their place. Joshua was simply to be himself. And the church needs those Sunday school workers, those outreach workers, those people who are prayer warriors, to come to the prayer meeting and to cry on to the Lord. I wonder, would you say, Lord, give me that responsibility. What can I do for you? How can I serve you, Lord? Could I be in the outreach team? Lord, could I come into the place of prayer? Oh, the small things that Moses gave Joshua to do as his servant, as his minister. And then as Joshua obeyed those, oh, he was given more. And don't we learn the principle that when we are faithful in the small things, oh, how the Lord will give us much more. The word there, we said, it means responsibilities, but also it can mean readiness to serve. The word minister also means to wait upon. It has the idea of one ready to serve another. We read in Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 38, Joshua the son of Nun, which standeth before thee. He stood before Moses, ready to serve him, ready to do whatever Moses asked him to do. We learn as well in 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 1, when Elijah, at that great prayer, he said, before the Lord God liveth, before whom I stand. Oh, he was ready to do whatever the Lord wanted him to do. And Joshua's life is characterized by obedience. He was willing to do whatever Moses asked him to do. He was willing to do whatever was told him to do, even from his youth, as he was getting trained under Moses. He was there at Moses' command saying, Moses, what can I do? Exodus chapter 17, verse 9, it says, and Moses said unto Joshua, choose out men to fight with Amalek. Verse 10, it says, Joshua did as Moses said unto him. There was no complaining. There was no, but Moses, what about this, sir? What do I have to do here? Moses said, Joshua, I want you to do something. Oh, and Joshua, he did it. We learn as well, Exodus 24, of how Moses went up to the mount. And Joshua stayed there with Moses until Moses wanted him to go on with him. Joshua was a workman under Moses. He was under Moses' command. He was trained to obey Moses. He was subject to all that Moses required of him. And don't we see that picture of our blessed Lord Jesus Christ, the true Joshua, just as Joshua obeyed Moses, as Joshua obeyed the law. Don't we learn of how the Lord Jesus Christ obeyed the law in his perfect obedience? He was made under the law. He came to meet all the demands of the broken law. He came to do the will of God. We read in Philippians that he was obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He gave his life a ransom. Christ lived a perfect life. And in his perfect life as he lived, he earned a righteousness for his people. We learn at the cross, people think at the cross that Christ, all his sufferings began at the cross, but they didn't. All through his life he suffered. From the time he was born, he suffered. Suffered in his life. Suffered in his death. And when we put the two together, it all represents in his life and in his death, his act of obeying the law. Because Adam sinned. Adam disobeyed the law. Adam broke God's commandment. And the standard has not changed. God's standard was perfect obedience. God's standard was to keep the law. But we could not keep the law. We couldn't do it if we tried. But it took one to keep the law for us. And Christ Jesus came into this world. He came in to pay that debt. He came in to do all that Adam did, or all that Adam failed. Oh, the Lord Jesus Christ, he came and paid our sin debt. He came to give that perfect obedience to the law of God. Just as Joshua obeyed Moses, so we have the Lord Jesus Christ. He came to obey the law. And you can say today, it was for me, it was for me, O love of God, so great, so free. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Oh, great to know that his blood washes whiter than the snow. Child of God, today, when you get to heaven and you meet the Lord, you're there because of what the Lord Jesus Christ did for you in his life and in his death. You're not there on any merit of your own. You're not there because of who you are, what you do. Well, you're there because the Lord Jesus Christ came and gave that perfect obedience in his life to set you free from your sin. Joshua, the significance of his name. Joshua, he was the son of Nun. Joshua, he was the servant of Moses. Finally, Joshua was spoken to by the Lord. We read there that after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying. And that's very, very important, because Joshua was in the place where God wanted him to be. Moses has died. And Joshua knew that he was given the task that he would take over this role of leadership. And he knew the pressure. He knew from Moses' life of what it was to lead Israel. And Joshua looked up to Moses. But now the Lord's servant has gone. And all the pressure is on Joshua. All the burden is on Joshua. And he starts to think, well, I have to lead the people. Each and every one of them. And this burden was placed upon Joshua. It's one thing to know that you are to take over someone else. But it's another thing when that actually happens. Because then all that pressure comes. And Joshua knew he couldn't do it alone. He knew that in his own strength, he couldn't do that work. And dear child of God, I don't know what burden you have today. I don't know what's been placed upon your life. Maybe whether it's more responsibilities of work or bills or I say that loved one that's passing away or whatever it may be. But in Joshua's situation, the burden that he was under, the Lord came at the right time and the Lord came with the right word. For the Lord said unto Joshua, as I was with Moses, I will be with thee. I will not fail thee. I will not forsake thee. Oh, what a word that was for Joshua. I will be with thee, Joshua. You don't have to fear. You don't have to panic. You're not alone. I am with you. I will help you. I will lead you. I will guide you. And it's good to know that the Lord has never changed. That he's still the same yesterday, today, and forever. You know, if you think about it this way, the Lord has spoken to Moses. Now the Lord speaks to Joshua. And after Joshua has got a word from the Lord, we read verse 10. Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, and then we have everything that Joshua said to Moses. And that's a great encouragement for us. Because we go through trials. We go through burdens. We go through those times where we're cast down. But the Lord comes and speaks that word in season. That word that we need. And then what are we to do? That gives us help to continue to speak to the other people as well who are in that same situation, who need that encouragement. And you can say, what the Lord's given to me, well, I want to share that with you. Joshua, the servant of the Lord. Well, I trust today that you've had a word from the Lord, whether here today, whether at your quiet time already at the home. But would you be able to end this day saying, put your name there, as a servant of the Lord, that he speak unto you, unto me. Philip, he has spoken unto me. Well, I trust today that we would know the voice of the Lord speaking. Maybe I said today, you're not saved. And maybe the Lord's speaking to you today. You've realized when we talk about the law, you can't save yourself. There's nothing you can do to save yourself. Oh, I trust today that you'll come and realize only the Lord Jesus Christ is the Savior of sinners. And you must ask him to be your Savior. Child of God, you'll come today and thank him for all that he has done for you. that he gave his life for you, shed his precious blood for you on Calvary, made a way, access for you into God's presence. Oh, that you'll come and thank him for all he has done for you and say, Lord, help me to be that servant for you. Help me to live my life in such a way that I will be known as a servant of the Lord. May God bless his word for his own name's sake. Let's just seek the Lord.